I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question, where curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. And remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.
From the depths of a dark and misty forest on a tiny Pacific Northwest island, once came an idea that would change the world forever.
"Hey, let's start a podcast," she said.
"Sure, sounds fun."
Unbeknownst to them, their lives would be changed forever.
Dun, dun, dun.
History is not boring, unless you're doing it wrong.
Welcome to Rainy Day Rabbit Holes, where the West gets wild and so do we.
I'm Shay.
And I'm Jody.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole. Well, hey, welcome back, rabbit holers. Today, Jody and I have a very special episode for you, because today marks officially, at least according to the way I've numbered my files, today marks our 100th episode of Jody with a Flaccid Microphone.
Is it going again? I keep watching
it. It keeps drifting to the side.
I'll just drift. I'll follow it.
Yes, that's right, you guys. We have made it to that milestone of 100 official episodes.
That is insane to me.
That is insane.
It feels like 35. Like, we've had a lot of fun. That seems like a lot of work.
That was a lot of work.
Yeah.
That was over 2 years of work.
That's a lot of research that we've done.
A lot of research, a lot of talking, a lot of editing on my part.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of time spent on the computer.
Ugh.
But it's been kind of all worth it, don't you think?
I agree. It's definitely been worth it.
I mean, we're officially making $69 a month.
And ooh, I mean, what a number.
69.
What a number.
So, you know, our ideas of getting rich and famous from this podcast may not yet have happened.
Yet.
Yet.
We're only at 100.
But look, there have been a couple of times over our journey where people have been like, "Oh my God, you're the host of Rainy Day Rabbit Holes. I'm a listener."
Yeah, I learned that I'm uncomfortable in that situation.
You're like, "Oh shoot,
I was like,
what
do I do? You, what? You, oh, I feel famous now and I don't know how to be."
Also, you want to go like, "You listen to that? Why is anybody listening to this?"
Right. I might, or ask me a really detailed question about something and I'm like, "Oh gosh, okay, that was 6 months ago."
Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't even remember.
I'm not the expert. These are
of the episodes we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I've gone back and listened to a couple in preparation for this and I was like, "I don't remember doing that episode."
Right. I actually wrote a story and then I was like, "Wait, did we already do this one? I better check."
I guess that's what happens when you get up into the
100. Yeah.
To 100. Yeah. You know, I'm very, very proud of us because according to statistics, it's only something like 6 to 9% of 69,
again.
Not 69, 6 to 9% of podcasts ever reach the 100th podcast episode mark.
That's insane.
So kudos to us.
Right. Ew. Perseverance is really important.
I feel really proud of us for doing that.
Yeah.
We've grown and changed quite a bit through
this. Yes.
We've started off with, you know, not bad audio. Let's say we started out with okay audio.
Hey, I think we started off with audio that's way better than most people start
off. That is
off.
Very true. That's better than some people that have been doing it for years.
Absolutely.
We struggled with our episode format and structure for a while. We thought we were going to be something different than what we ended up being.
Yep.
I think the idea was that we were going to go and have adventures in the Pacific Northwest and kind of report about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
which I think was the idea of fun for us as well.
Right. And so that's why we did that road trip. We did our first podcast in the Itty Bitty Inn.
Oh, yeah.
In Southern Oregon. And we ended up interviewing the innkeeper for that. There was a time where we thought we were going to do movie nights. And we did a two-part series with our husbands about the movie Singles.
Yep.
That was actually not fun.
I had a great time.
It was like,
I didn't edit it.
Herding cats to get both of the boys to just perform like regular people.
Right, right. They're both very uncomfortable.
They were so uncomfortable. And then the audio was awful because they kept fidgeting.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think we were, this is pre-studio. And so we were definitely at a table that every time you moved, it made a squeak.
And the chairs squeaked. And Keith still hasn't figured out the concept of a microphone being in front of your face and you have to talk into it.
He talks around it like it's in his way.
Yeah, it's in his way. So he'll move off to the side like this. Or he'll turn to look at a person who's next to him. But when you get used to podcasting, you know that you kind of turn your whole body so that your mouth, like this is what I'm doing right now as I'm turning to the left. I'm still talking into the microphone. But he'll just turn his head like this.
Yeah, yeah.
To talk to the person there. You know, that. And then my husband didn't want to talk over anybody. So he just was silent.
Yeah, I felt like he was really quiet. Like
we would have to like, I'm like, what do you think,
Rich?
I feel
like you're a much more opinionated person.
Yes,
being on this episode,
but I'm feeling him judge what we're doing.
Yeah,
so yeah, we've come a long way in what we do, our format. You've noticed our name has changed over the years. Our intro has changed several times. How we do things has changed. We've done a lot of exploration and a lot of experimenting.
Yep,
we've had guests. We've had lots of great guests. We've gone on road trips. We've done adventures. Some have worked. Some haven't. Overall, though, I think the experience of what we've done over the last 2+ years has been really rewarding. And I think the best part of it is our friendship.
I agree. It gives us an opportunity. Life is so busy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find time to get together for fun things. And right. So we've just created a avenue for ourselves where we have to get together.
Exactly. It's like work. It's like our job.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have to do this. And so there's no, okay, well, maybe next week we'll find some time.
Exactly. Yeah. So no, we have to. Nice. We're like, we got to get an episode out. So we got to get together and record.
Yep.
It also gives us a great excuse to go on adventures because we can be like, well, we're going to go there and get some content. Even though half the time we don't actually do it, like Port Townsend, we just had fun.
We had a great, we collected a lot of content.
We should too. Still that. Do that.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we'll go back and do it again just so we can refresh our memories.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a fun time.
We've learned a lot as we've gone along. We've learned to be better podcasters. I think we've learned to be better communicators.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that both of us, you know, speaking at least for myself, have gained a deeper appreciation for history and historians.
100%.
Where before it was kind of like, now I'm becoming a history nerd.
Yeah, I agree.
I get excited about it.
Yes. Writing my stories instead of it being nerve-wracking or hard to do are fascinating now. I'm like, oh, more. Give me more. Let me learn this about that person or that event. It's definitely, I have a different view of it. My favorite part is the fact that we've met historians and all the amazing people that we've worked with. They're just so valuable to society and you don't even recognize it until you're in it. Because without historians, we wouldn't remember the past. And it's really just important stories for our future, really.
I agree with that 100%. And I think that especially in the times we find ourselves now in the United States, historians are more important than ever because they keep the record.
Yes.
Where certain people want to erase history or rewrite history to be more convenient to their side. You know, it's nice to have people that are like, yeah, no, I'm an expert in this particular topic. And this is actually what happened.
Right.
And it helps us to learn.
Yes.
We say this all the time. If you don't learn from history, you repeat it. And it's fine to have history that is embarrassing or sheds a bad light upon your past. As long as you accept it, learn from it, move on from it, strive to be better. So that's where I think historians are very, very important. And I don't like that historians' voices are being squashed.
Yeah, definitely.
That was my soapbox for this episode.
Not only squashed, any expert in any field is being squashed.
Right. Yep.
So it's just very sad.
You weren't expecting to be bummed out by this episode, were you?
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
I mean, Shay Ruins Everything is part of our shtick.
And then another thing that has come out of this that is really special to me is all of the relationships that we've built.
Yes.
we have this now network of like-minded people and friends that we can go to, not only the historians and other people we've met. I now give tours for Pretty Gritty Tours. That came out of it. And then we formed the Umbrella Collective.
Yep.
So we've formed this community of other podcasters, and some of us have gone on to do a lot of collaborations together. We're doing another podcast together. Check out the Alien RPG podcast. And it's been really, really fulfilling. That's one of my favorite things. And this is what really matters. Like, whether or not our podcast ever makes us more than $69, stretch goal for the end of the year, I'd like it to be $169 a month.
End of next year, right? 2026.
Yes, exactly. you know, and maybe someday we'll get recognized by more than one person a year. But that's not what matters. The relationships matter, mm-hmm. and that we're still enjoying this to 100 more episodes from now.
It's just another reminder how important community is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tell me, Jody, in this journey, I think we've talked about our favorite things. What's been your least favorite thing about podcasting?
Technology, for sure. Mm-hmm. I struggle with it. Not necessarily even just struggling with learning it. Every time I touch something, it breaks. Like nothing functions the way it's supposed to. And so I just get really frustrated by it and sometimes even avoid doing what I need to do because of it.
Right.
But I think that would be my biggest thing. Another thing that I struggle with the podcast is promotion. Like I don't, when we are out with people, I don't go, oh, you should listen to our podcast. It's really fun and you can learn things and it's educational. And I just shy away in a corner somewhere.
I'm actually pretty good at doing that. The thing that for me is hard to do is social media. I don't like doing social media for personal stuff. Like I like to look at it sometimes, but I rarely ever post
because I'm a rare poster.
Yeah, I'm always like, there's nothing that I have to say that's exciting enough mm-hmm. to put in writing and post to the world.
At best, I'll put a family update.
Right.
You know, a new baby's born. I haven't even done that.
Or I'll do a picture once in a while. But I get so involved in the moment that I forget to take pictures too.
I agree. Same.
That's why we had to finally go out and get quote unquote professional JCPenney professional pictures taken, because we have no pictures of us together where we look halfway decent that we can share with people.
Right.
Because we always forget.
Right.
And then we'll get like the worst selfie where it's up both our noses and we have 14 chins. And you know,
what are you doing in there?
I know. It's
why does my face look like
we're
that?
We're bad at
Do
pictures.
I really look like that?
Right. I'm like, no. So yeah, I would say my least favorite part of podcasting is having to do social media production, marketing, that sort of thing. It feels a little soul sucking. I don't know what to do. I'm like, it doesn't seem to make a difference. That's the thing that really drags me down, but it's part of what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing that I hate is part of this is the editing process, is then I'm listening to my own voice over and over and over again. And I begin to hate my own voice. I begin to hate my own opinions. Like, oh my God, I'm insufferable.
That's one of the things I learned as well. Like you asked, do you want to do this podcast? And I was like, sure. Sounds like fun. And then I'm like, oh my God, this is not me. Like performing is not me. I don't perform. And that's kind of what this is, even though, you know, it's reading off a script for the most part, it's still a performance. And then when we're with people, it's a performance, and doing any of our promotion is a performance. And I'm just like, I'd like to be in the background. What did I agree to here?
But I don't know about that, Jody, because in listening to our episodes in preparation for this, I'll be like, Jody always seems to pop in when I'm doing a story with like things that are just so funny.
Oh,
and you always have something good to say or a good question, even though sometimes your questions are very dumb.
Or hard. I'm like, why did I ask that? Like, you're ever going to know that.
You will ask the most minute detail and I'm like, why would I know that?
I'm questioning you like you're an expert, not somebody who just
what breed was Sparky from the
yes, the I'm still
queen.
Curious.
And I'm like, trying to picture him.
No, we know nothing about this dog.
So, you know, and that's the thing too, is like listening back to some of our older episodes, I do get a little cringy because we used to drink an entire bottle of champagne per episode. And we record like three episodes. But the last one, I'm slurring. I have mush mouth.
I'm swearing.
Yeah, we're just all over the place. I'm saying stupid things
that are hilarious in the moment.
So I feel like we've gotten a little bit more professional that way for the most part. And now we, you know, because we're on the radio, we try not to swear as much. Yeah. Another thing that, like we were talking about before, the best part of this, besides our relationship, is the people that we have met.
I agree.
First and foremost, I think we need to mention somebody who is constantly doing things for us and supporting us and has made our lives as podcasters easier is Letha Davis.
Absolutely.
Letha, we started to know through the podcast. She became one of our early Patreon supporters and our first higher tier supporter. She just has been so supportive. And then one day she's like, hey, I would really love to help with your website. And now somebody that we collaborate with every week. She's an amazing, beautiful person.
Truly one of the most beautiful human beings.
Yes. And I consider her a friend now. And that has been amazing. She's created a beautiful website for us as well. She's helped us with our social media. She's taken that basically off our plate, which is a gift that we never would have expected. And, you know, she's really helping us out and working hard for us. And so this is just our outpouring of love and gratitude for Letha Davis. And it's also a little bit of a commercial because if you need a beautiful professional website,
easy breezy,
easy breezy. Remember, it's easy and then B-R-Z-Y.
Breezy.
Breezy. Easy breezy.com. And there should be a link somewhere on our website. So Letha, if you're listening and you haven't put a like big, bright, bold link somewhere to Easy Breezy on our website, please do it. Thank you.
Great job.
It's just fantastic.
Highly functional.
So on that, let's also, we would like to thank all our Patreon supporters. If you are a Patreon supporter of the show, please email me and let us know what you would like to see in the Patreon so that we can earn your support like you've been giving. So thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. We really appreciate it. And if you want to join our Patreon, head on over to our website.
Yep.
Advertisement.
Look at you. Look at you promoting.
As much as I love making $69 a month, again, stretch goal, $169.
Yep. Let's see. We'll meet back here in 1 year and see how we did.
Exactly. Obviously, all of the podcasters that we've met.
Yeah.
First and foremost, my dear friend, Newells from Ireland Crimes and Mysteries. We've done an episode together,
Yeah,
we did one where she brought the story of the origins of Halloween. That has been really special. She's been very supportive and just absolutely wonderful. And of course, our founding members of Umbrella Podcast Collective.
Yeah.
So it started with Laura and Steven from, they were Midday Musings, now they're Midday Movies. And they had started this whole P&W pod gang on Threads.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And that is how I met Kevin from Tyrant in Training, which I was a guest on his podcast where I was I started a cat cult on Vashon Island.
Wait, this is a P&W pod gang?
Yes. It was P&W pod gang and Kevin.
And Kevin, yes. That's why I asked.
Because he was just on Threads and was responding. And so we kind of like swept him in.
Because where is he from? Where is he located?
Ireland. The same county as Newells.
Wow. Right next to each other.
Yeah. Even. Then we also have Brian from Spirits and Monsters of Old Seattle. He was a latecomer to the PMW pod gang, but he reached out to me to be like, hey, love to do like an episode swap with you, and then quickly became a very important member of our collective. He became our spreadsheet wizard.
Right.
He's so good at coordinating and collaborating, and it's been awesome. So Brian from Spirits and Monsters of Old Seattle, and I can't forget Ani from Audibly Haunted.
Yes.
Another pod gang member in LA, and she has, I love her little podcast. She's kind of on hiatus right now, but there's plenty of episodes to go listen to.
I really loved having Steve Edmondson.
Steve!
Steve! Getting to know him and having being part of the Men in Black birthday bash celebrations, and just their whole organization is just so fun. It is, you know, it's ridiculous. It's unserious. This is not changing the world. This is,
or just, is it?
Yeah, or is it? People and a topic I don't think I would have had anything to do with prior to this. Just really fun. And then, of course, our stalking victim, Chris Stodinger, I love following him on social media. I don't know if you saw his latest video that he put out about, I don't know if it's his latest, but a recent video he put out about some art in Tacoma outside Bates College. Hilarious.
I haven't seen that one yet. You'll have to watch.
I recommend looking because he's talking about this art that resembles something that we all know about. But it's actually a leaf, but it doesn't look like a leaf. So he's really funny. And then included in that is history.
Yes. And it's just funny. So that's Chris from Pretty Gritty Tours. Mm-hmm. So he's the king of Tacoma, as we call him.
Yes.
He's funny. He's knowledgeable. He's incredibly generous and kind. He's been out to our studio twice. So make sure you go back and listen to those episodes. This last one, the Tacoma's Cursed Ghost Ship or whatever, was so good.
And he's a cross between history and comedy, and mm-hmm. it's just perfect.
Yeah, he's fantastic as well. We also have to thank, before we finish this section, Pam Beal.
Yes.
From Radio Tacoma. They took a chance on playing our dumb show on their local radio station a couple of years ago. And it's just been a great relationship. So thank you to
they're
Pam.
They're great supporters.
Yeah, everybody at Radio Tacoma.
They truly are avid listeners and great supporters.
And they are supporters of history.
Yes.
And truth and justice, too.
Yes, yes.
If you listen to their other shows, they're concerned about the environment and
human rights.
And human rights and preserving history. And we appreciate that because that's where we are. Because remember, we are radical leftist scum. We decided.
Proud of it. Call me scum of the earth.
Before we move on, let's take a quick little break. All right, Jody, we've had 100 official episodes. I know we've had little bonus episodes somewhere in there, but we're calling it 100 official full episodes. Are there any that stand out to you as your very favorite?
I feel like for some reason, Madame Mustache sticks out to me. First of all, it was just fun to record because remember I surprised you wearing a mustache.
Oh my God, that's right. It was the one from the pizza box that you had to stick up your nose.
Yes. And I wore it for quite some time while we were recording until it got soggy.
Gross.
But also, I just found her to be a fascinating woman. Somebody I think I would have really hung out with, maybe.
Right.
Back in that era, she just didn't care that she was a woman in a time where you weren't allowed to be anything but, you know, a housewife and caring for children.
Yeah, it was either you get married or you become a sex worker. Right. Kind of like your two choices.
She became a business owner and all over the place and male job. I mean, she just handled herself.
She was a
so
badass.
Well. She was a badass.
Absolutely.
I really liked her. So that was fun.
That was a good one. And, you know, coincidence, that is also Letha Davis's favorite episode.
Yeah.
Before we hear what Letha has to say about it, let's listen to a little clip from the episode.
She was, however, a high-class gambler, businesswoman, and absolute boss at the card table. She made money, ran high-end gambling parlors where miners basically handed over their gold, and did all of this alone, traveling from town to town across the lawless West as a single woman almost her entire life. Gambling halls were nasty, dark, full of sweaty, drunk people. Lice-ridden men is what I read.
Oh, yikes. Mm-hmm. Nice.
They weren't just stinky. They had lice. I never thought about this.
They wanted to have sex with women there, too.
Right. And then she served champagne instead of whiskey.
Oh,
no whiskey,
fancy. And no toe in it?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of lame for the time, but no
could
toe.
Could have improved this drink with a toe.
So she did not, like I was saying, she did not put up with nonsense. No rowdy men. You were kicked out. Cheaters, you were publicly humiliated. Mm. If she caught you as a cheater, she'd tell the town, you'd be publicly humiliated. She was running a business, not a drunken brawl. And for a while, it worked. And she made a lot of money. Eleanor Dumont, an absolute legend of the West. She was too smart, too independent, and too ahead of her time for the world she lived in.
That was so funny. Oh my God. That was terrible.
Told you I wasn't a performer.
No. No. In the nativity play, you get to play one of the donkeys.
Willingly.
Okay. I might leave that in just because it was so funny. Oh my God. Okay.
This is what Letha has to say about our Madame Mustache episode. One of my favorite Rainy Day Rabbit Holes episodes is the Madame Mustache one. Transparently, I still think about Madame Mustache here and there since I learned more about her story. I loved how unexpected the whole story was. I heard of Madame Mustache before, but to learn more about the real person. When people talk about the Wild West and what she was doing, most people, mostly men at the time, never thought a woman could pull that off at that time. Running gambling halls, outsmarting the best of the gamblers, and holding her own in some pretty rough situations. I also appreciated that the episode didn't try to turn her into a perfect hero. It was messy, dramatic, and kind of wild with all the stories of betrayal, revenge, and reinvention. She was complicated, but inspiring, which made her feel very real, and that's credit to the hosts. It's one of those episodes that reminds me why I love this podcast. Jody and Shay have such a great way of chasing down these strange, forgotten stories, the kind that feel half ridiculous, half unbelievable, and telling them like you're all just hanging out and going down the rabbit hole together. It's funny, unfiltered, and full of those wild little history moments you'd never stumble on unless someone was curious enough to go looking. Aww, I love that.
Thank you, Letha.
I love that.
Thank you. And that's what we aim for, is for people to feel like they're just hanging out with their two, right. You know.
I know. In reading that comment, I was like, whoa, she got it. Like what we were trying to do came across.
Absolutely.
Very well.
It was hard to choose a favorite episode. It's kind of like choosing a favorite grandchild.
Yeah, nope, can't do it. I have one that asks me every time. You know, you know it's probably me, right? Who's your favorite? You have a favorite. You know it's me.
So my favorite probably has to be the Salish Sea human foot discoveries for a couple of reasons. So one, it was kind of the story that started this podcast. Because we were walking on the beach on Harstein Island, and there was a shoe in the flotsam and jetsam on the beach. Mm-hmm. And I brought up that story and how I've always wanted to know what was the deal with that story.
And right, because at the time we heard about it happening all the time, but
didn't know why.
Nothing came of it. Like, no answers.
So I was able to fall down that rabbit hole, satisfy my curiosity, and in the process, make some of the best dad jokes.
You are really good at dad jokes.
I was very, very proud.
For being a woman and not a parent at all, I cannot believe
you're so good at this. Now I'm a dog dad and a cat dad. But at that time, I had nobody to embarrass besides myself. And then, I mean, as far as dad jokes go, the next one that I did, and I still like this episode, is the humongous fungus one, because I had a lot of mushroom puns.
Oh, really? Yes. Good,
yeah. But Sailor Sea human foot discoveries. Wild story, lots of disembodied feet, great jokes. I feel like that was a really good episode. We just re-released it a couple months ago. And yes, we are sometimes a little bit insensitive about how those feet got out there, because it was mostly people dying by suicide.
Right.
And we laughed.
As you laugh now.
Suicide. I'm laughing at us, fandom, but, you know. Which we apologize for. Do you have another one that you think sticks out to you?
It's tough because I really like the Linda Hazard story.
That was a really good
Starvation Heights. But I really, really loved, we did a recent one, a more recent one, Ishii, a story of the last wild Indian.
That was a good one.
I had no idea this story even existed or this man
I didn't either.
Existed. And it was, again, an inspiring learning moment.
It was. And it, though it was also enraging.
Right.
And that's the thing. Some of these stories we come across have some people were terrible to people.
Still
because
are.
They didn't think they were people.
Right. It's very easy to treat human beings as if they are animals if you look at them like they're animals.
Yeah.
Because they're different than you.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this was. They definitely looked at Native Americans as less than human.
Yeah. And I think that
they were somewhere between animal and human, but they weren't human.
Yeah. Well, the other one that sticks with me is when we decided to open up our scope from strictly Pacific Northwest to just the west of North America, which I think we're going to start even wondering around outside of that.
I know, because I'm like, oh, that's a fun rabbit hole. Oh, not on the west.
Let's just say anything that's unhinged history, which we'll talk about that a bit here in a bit. The Traveling Corpse of Elmer McCurdy.
One of my favorites, too.
It was... I mean, talk about unhinged.
Yeah, so unhinged. From beginning to end.
Yes.
The fact that they did this in the first place and then the
Wild West
outcome.
Worst bank robber. he couldn't for the life of him figure out how. No, he's a train robber and a bank robber. Couldn't do a successful job. And then his poor corpse ends up being pushed around a funeral home on roller skates by the funeral home director's children, ends up in a wax museum, and ends up traveling. He became more famous as a corpse than he ever would have been in life. And then the way that they found him in the 70s when they were filming the $6 million man and thought it was a mannequin and pulled his arm off.
Oh, yes.
There were some gross points in that story, too. Like when they broke open his head and green stuff oozed out. That one to me was just insane.
Yeah.
That one was fun.
It's insane anything like that can happen.
Yes.
What?
We reached out to listeners to ask if they had a favorite episode and anything else to say about the podcast. So you've already heard from Letha, but we've collected a couple of other ones to talk about. So let's share what some of the other listeners' favorite podcast episodes are. So I'm going to start out with my brother, of course, who's been a guest host on this podcast several times.
I love Jason.
So I asked him, I said, do you have a favorite episode and do you have anything you'd like to say? And so this is what he has to say about our podcast. Jody is lovely.
I am.
But Shay ruins the 1800s and talks about Japan too much.
Such a critic.
True. So both of those things. Well, he didn't actually write a statement to me. He said his favorite episode is the Red Ghost of Arizona episode. And he said he was just blown away by it. And it's the one that he tells everyone about because it was just a crazy story. He also thinks that he was a guest on this episode, like a guest host. So nobody tell him that it was Jody. I was like, no, Jason, I don't think that you were. He's like, no, I was.
He was. See, that's how great that story was. He was so into
so involved
it
that he thinks he was a part of it.
Yes, exactly.
Like, by the end of it, it's going to be Jason that was on the back of that camel.
Oh, gosh.
No, because
Jason
be
found him.
There you go. Jason was in the camel
Jason
corpse.
Wrote the story.
And then he also said that we need to cover the Arizona Navy.
Okay.
Because there was one.
Mm-hmm. Like Havasu.
Right? So there's a reason why it's like a weird bonkers story. So I think that's one that's going to come up next.
Yeah, for sure.
So our friend Pam, the director of Radio Tacoma, has a favorite episode as well. What do you say? You want to read that one?
Yeah, I'll read this one. Because actually, this is one of my, it was my episode. It was one I really enjoyed doing because I was a fan as a child.
Yeah, you had a personal connection to this one as well.
The episode, this is from Pam Beal. The episode I shared most widely was JP Patches because I grew up watching the show, as did many of my friends. What I noticed that I hadn't before was that he wasn't afraid of homelessness, diversity, or even cross-dressing. He was a generous and hilarious soul. The other show that resonated with me in particular was the Maury Island incident because it triggered a childhood memory of seeing a cigar-shaped object over Maury Island, where we spent many summer weeks at a family beach house.
Okay, Pam, we're going to need to talk to you about this.
Yeah, right? I want to know more. I know, as soon as I read that, I was like, ooh. I appreciate not only the telling of history through humor, but also that many of the stories are unknown and sometimes hard stories that need telling and are thinly veiled cultural critiques, which we very much need at this time in our history. Looking forward to more bold choices for stories.
Okay, I love that last part about thinly veiled cultural critiques.
Right? I thought we were pretty unveiled.
We just came out and said we're radical leftist scum. Fails off, baby. Pants are off.
Pants are off. I think am I the pink slimy scum? I don't know.
Oh, God. I just said pants are off and you say pink slimy scum? Get it together, Jody.
I was totally thinking about the bathroom when you leave, if you don't want scrub your tub enough. The pee.
Right.
Yeah. I wasn't even listening. Oh, my God.
All right. So one of our patrons, Kaden, said, I was scrolling through the list of all the fun topics you explore, and I have several that top my list. Sorry. I know that doesn't help much. Love the Maury Island series. I also love the funky weird ones where you're like, no, this can't be real. Yeah, there's been several times where Jody's like, is this real life?
Yes. Are you making this up?
The Emu War, Sour Toe, Geronimo, Beaver Drop, Moose Turds, and Feline Mares, Sex on Lewis and Clark Expedition, Jack the Bear. Jack the Bear is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah. That's another one we wouldn't have known about.
Yep. In general, I love the wit and banter between you two. Listening to you guys makes me feel like I'm on a drunk night out with besties.
Oh, that was the goal. I love that our listeners get us. That'd
be the best compliment ever. Yes. Besides thinly veiled cultural critiques.
Yes, I do love that.
Thank you, Caden.
I have to point out, Caden loves all your episodes, your quirky episodes. Oh, look at that. They are all your written by Shay.
Because sometimes you're like, I'm going to do a deep and meaningful one. And I'm like, no, Moose Turds.
I was thinking that when I was reviewing to see what my favorites were. I'm like, oh, I'm like deep and
meaningful.
Meaningful. I don't know. Could be. And then you're like the weird and quirky. I'm like, between the two of us, we make a whole podcast.
I know. It's a whole ass podcast.
Thank God for two of us.
Okay. And then here's one from our friend Justin Robinson, aka the Reverend in Fuego. Would that be the Reverend on Fire?
Oh, yeah. Could be. All right. I was wondering. I was thinking, he was in Spain somewhere or something.
It sounds like a great bar. Okay. I remember listening to the Ray Gamble episode and learning about him, the wild prohibition of gambling, his elephant house and everything. I was amazed by it and how basically want to explore that house. So yeah, that was a good one. That was with Michael Sullivan. That was one of our first interviews, our first real ass historian.
Right. That definitely. And he took the time. I remember thinking, wow, this man, this is early on in our recording, in our
it was not even adventure. 6 months in.
And he's a real ass historian. Yes. He actually is. And he took the time to sit with us and talk, and you could tell he enjoyed it. He was having a great time. And gave us some good feedback too, because you know we were at the time trying to figure out who we were as a podcast. Mm-hmm. Were we doing drunk history? Were we just being funny? Were we going to be serious historians? How much, you know, real research should we do? And I think he really helped me settle in to what we're doing now when he said, no, don't take it so seriously. You don't have to be an expert in any of these topics.
You don't have to get the dates of everything correct.
Right. Yeah. Don't worry about that. You are creating curiosity in history for people, and that is extremely important. So when he said that, I was like, okay, I feel like we now have, you know, our mission, or at least our vision about how we're going to do this. We're not going to be experts in any single topic, and we are going to bring out the weird and quirky and just spark curiosity. Mm-hmm. And that made me feel like I could fit that.
Yeah. We want history to be fun again.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do. And then we have a very special message from pod friend Brian from Spirits and Monsters of Old Seattle.
Hey, Shay and Jody, it's your friend Brian Kershaw from Spirits and Monsters of Old Seattle, and I have absolutely loved your show since I stumbled across it. 100 episodes is such a huge milestone, and I cannot wait for the next 100 more. While there are some great episodes of the show, especially that one about Henry Yesler, guest starring some really cool person, I think my favorite episode remains Sea Monsters of the Salish Sea. From the caddy, to the king of the Tacoma Narrows, to the legendary tree octopus, sea monsters are honestly just my absolute faves. I cannot wait to hear more creepy stories of the Pacific Northwest, especially in and around Seattle. Here's to 100 more amazing episodes.
Thank you, Brian. That was so kind of you. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank
you. Really appreciate it. I love the shout out to Henry Yesler. That was a fun episode doing with you. And also reminding everyone that Jody fell for the tree octopus. That makes me very happy. Yes.
Take advantage of my faith in you.
Yes. You're like, whoa. It is also, as we are recording this, the last day of 2025.
Yeah. I can't believe that either.
For many reasons, 2025 has been a year of positives and negatives.
Yeah. You know, when I was thinking about the fact that we've made it to 100, that we've been doing this for over 2 years, and that, like you said, only 6-9% of podcasts get there. There were so many moments where you and I could have been, had to have quit doing this podcast, at least this last year, and if not the year before as well for me. But we've really just kept each other going and stuck with it anyway, despite life happening to us. So yeah. I'm ready for this one to be over as well.
Also, for the new year, Jody and I have been talking for the last 6 months about starting a new project. Should we talk about this?
Talk about it.
With everything happening in the country, we felt that we wanted to participate in the dialogue in a way that was meaningful, that we felt that we were somewhat qualified to do, and that would help not only us to have a better understanding of what's going on in the world, what's going on in our country, but how we got here and how we can find hope from the past.
Yep.
History is full of lessons.
Right. And they tend to repeat themselves.
They do.
We've looked into things that are happening now. Most of them have happened before.
There's a lot of eerie echoes. And so we are most likely, this is knock on wood, going to start a second podcast called State of Disgrace.
A little bit more serious.
We'll still have fun with it, but we are going to season by season explore a different story from history that has some impact and insight into what's happening today. So our first season, we are going to explore McCarthyism and the impact of that and how it is still echoing today and how that the Cold War and everything that came after it is still impacting politics today.
Yeah.
Now, neither of us are experts in this.
Nope, we are not historians. We are not experts in history.
I just play one on the radio.
So we are experts into we are experts into looking into things or being curious. We are.
Our goal with this is not to be know-it-alls.
Right.
Our goal of this is to research and explore, and in that, enlighten ourselves and enlighten those who listen.
Yep.
And in those, find those stories of hope.
Hope, yes. We've been here before. How did we get out of it?
Right.
What should we do now?
Right.
What were the results? What a lot of this, you know, burning things down, what do they, what grows from that?
Right.
Sometimes.
Yeah. What's the phoenix to come out of the flame?
Yep.
Our hopes is to maybe get some people who actually do know what they're talking about to come on once in a while. And we'll just explore McCarthyism, how it came about, the end of the Cold War, how it grew, and some of the historical echoes.
Yeah,
from
it wasn't just a Red Scare or about communism. It was many things.
It was. And there's still a lot of things happening today that are a direct result of that.
Yep.
If that's something you're interested in, just keep listening and keep checking out our website. We'll have a whole new website for that once it happens. And if anybody is interested in more information about that or wants to help out in the process, you can always email me at shay@rainydayrabbitholes.com if you have any comments or questions about that. If you have any feedback about our podcast, the last hundred episodes, any that have stuck out to you, anything you'd like to see going forward this next year. I don't think we've really talked about much about what we're going to do with this podcast over the next year. I think we're just going to continue finding those stories that resonate and spark curiosity and hopefully make us laugh because we need that these days.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, we appreciate all of our listeners, everybody who's hung in there. We appreciate our friends and family who have put up with us nonstop talking about our podcast. Yep.
I want to thank all the listeners who've been with us since the beginning. We have, like we mentioned, we were trying to figure it out in the beginning. So if you were here then and you stuck it out with us till now, we really appreciate you.
Yeah.
We aren't here without you. Thank you.
Yeah. And if you're somebody who started listening early on when we started in October of 2023 and you're still listening today, please email me and let me know.
Like yeah,
I would really or comment on social media. We would love to know if you've just stuck in. You're like, yeah, they're a little bit shrill sometimes. But I like them.
Wow,
so
they
keep
sound
listening.
Drunk.
Right.
I had somebody ask me once, you can swear on podcasts. This was before we were on the radio.
You're like, F, yeah, I can.
Oops, sorry. I must sound like a barfly. I don't know.
Thank you. We apologize to those people we have offended. We apologize. I apologize to my brother when I've said things that make you blush because I'm your sister and you don't want to know that. Yeah. And special thanks to Jody's husband, Keith, who's always been a cheerleader.
Always been a cheerleader. He's actually how we got on to Tacoma Radio Tacoma.
Yes.
Because he kept writing to them until they...
Thank you, Keith. I've always appreciated your enthusiasm for our project and letting me steal Jody away for so long. And big thanks to my brother, who's also been an absolute cheerleader, been a guest host many times. When Jody was sick, he was my pitch hitter. He's always been so supportive and given so many good ideas.
He's the best brother.
He is the best big brother. I love you so much. Thank you, too, my little dog.
He's the emotional support through the whole thing, sitting in our lap currently.
He is on my electric blanket.
He's adorable.
He's so happy. Thank you to everybody for putting up with me talking about Japan nonstop for the last
2 years.
Okay.
With breaks. 2 years. Okay, breaks.
Yes. I stopped after a couple months.
Probably recorded 3 episodes on the topic.
It's fine.
They're People good, like though. It. They're good.
Hey, everybody loved the slip mouth woman. That one did really well on YouTube.
Yeah, that is good.
It was creepy.
Yeah.
All right. And thank you, Jody, my best friend. I love you. I'm going to cry.
Love you too. And thank you, Shay, for being my best friend and really introducing me to something I would never, ever have done. This is so not me. And it has been a wonderful surprise, a joyous surprise. And our friendship has just really been, you're a sister. You're
Same.
My sister.
Same. Yeah, I love you.
I love you.
Clinky.
Clink. Clink. I don't We're have... too far away.
I know, and I'm out of champagne.
Oh, I better fix that.
All right, on that note, thank you so much, listeners. We love you. Here's to another 100 episodes. All right, and
see you down the rabbit hole.
Okay, we are recording. How do I do this again? Only our 100th episode.
Did we check to make sure it's recording? Remember our early error?
Oh my God.
Hey, it's Jody Hamilton.
And Sean Smith-Pierce.
Here's a taste of what you might have missed from the Politics Bar.
Jody, I was listening to you this morning, filling in for Steph. You and Chris were debating. And just for the record, Jody is right. Chris's argument is that there is some truth to what's being said about the left being in their own information silo. Right.
Basically, we started talking about how Gavin Newsom has invited people on his podcast, High Up MAGA Guys.
Yeah. Well-known right-wing propagandists. That's what they are. Yeah.
And my argument is he shouldn't be inviting them because nobody on that side is listening to Gavin Newsom.
Right. It doesn't help to bring propagandists into a sphere where truth matters because they're just going to lie their asses off anyway.
Right.
So here is a public service message for Chris Lavoie. Jody Hamilton is right. Catch all that and more weeknights at the Politics Bar. Available through your favorite progressive radio station, your favorite podcast player, or online anytime at thepoliticsbar.com.